Please turn in your Bibles to Colossians 1. We're going to look at Colossians 1, 3 through 5. And this morning I'd like to talk a little bit about hope. Hope is absolutely critical for us. Hope, which is really connected to faith, as we're going to talk about, is very important to us as Christians so that we rightly have hope and hope in the right things. Amen? Amen. You may have heard someone say, I hope I get that job. Or I hope my kids turn out okay. Or I hope it doesn't snow tomorrow. I hope we have pizza for dinner. But today I want us to seriously consider, what are you hoping in? Where does your hope lie? Let's read Colossians 1, 3 through 5. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Jesus Christ and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Amen. You know, as Christians in America, we have many things that really compete for our hope. There are many things that we're tempted to put our hope in. In fact, these things can distract us, take our eyes off of the hope that we have in Christ. And you may ask, well, this hope sounds an awful lot like faith. And in fact, they are indeed very similar and inseparable. But as Martin Luther said, faith is now. It tells us what is to be done, what it teaches, it prescribes, and it directs. Hope is looking ahead, and it stirs up the mind that we may be strong and bold and courageous, and that we may suffer and endure adversity, waiting for better things. As Christians, there should really be no confusion about our hope. We have a guaranteed hope that resides in heaven, where neither moth or rust destroy, where thief cannot steal, where man cannot take, and where nothing in this world compares to. We should have hope in the right thing, shouldn't we? So we know that we should not have faith that the president will save us from our sins. And similarly, we do not hope that our retirement will bring us a season of perfect peace. Just as we read in the call this morning, Psalm 78, that our children would hope in God. Would hope in God through that everlasting faithfulness to the generations. What we see in hope or what we don't hope in will drive and affect how we live. Maybe some of you have experienced that. Or what we're living for. If we walk around in this life and we're not sure what to hope in, or we're distracted by things, we may lose sight of our true hope. We'll take our eyes off of God. And right here, as our text calls us today, by the work of Christ, we see what our hope is. Our hope is laid up for us in heaven. Heaven! That's our hope. That's a pretty good hope. There's not much in this world that's going to compare. In other words, the salvation of God and all the promises to his children through adoption are reserved for us in heaven and here today. That is our hope, and that's where we go. That's where we look. That's where our mind and our will and our affections must be, on the things above. As Titus 2 says, the grace of God that brings salvation teaches us to be looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. See, that's our posture as Christians. Heavenward. We often think about heaven as Christians, and we should talk about it a lot. That's our attitude. This sort of just came to me, but you know, what is your posture in life? That's what you have to ask. You ever watched swimming, like swimmers in the Olympics, when they're standing there on the blocks? They're kind of in a position, ready to jump as soon as that bell goes? That's their posture. They're ready. What's our posture as Christians? It's towards heaven. That's our posture. Ready, always thinking onward to heaven. That's our home. That's our treasure. That's our life. And that's our hope. And until we're there, every moment of your life here on earth is Christ. So may we glory in Christ. Now, even the life itself, this life itself should be a constant reminder of hope. And God does many things in this life to cause us and remind us to hope on heaven. Our trials, the sin of this life, right? The difficulties. Maybe a season where you have a lack of money. Maybe the messiness of this life. Do you long for heaven? Do you long for the perfect, sinless, glorious, ultimate peace with God? That's hope. That's our hope, Christians. Just dive into it. Rest your hope fully on the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, it's in our trials and our difficulties where we really see. If you want to know where your hope lies, just wait for a good trial to come along. When we're pressed down, where do you go? Do you go to the movies? Do you go to comfort food? Do you maybe go gossip? Or do you go to God in hope? Do you go to your room, close the door, and pray to God and think on heaven? Oh, may we do that, brothers and sisters. Romans 5, in speaking of our justification in Christ, says, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And this hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit and been given to us. Let the hope laid up in heaven be your beacon, brothers and sisters. Be the lighthouse of this life for you in the storm and in the fog. Look for the light in heaven. And don't let anything else become your hope. Don't let another person's affections become your hope. Don't let your bank account become your hope, or the security of your job or business. Don't let the fact that you homeschool become your hope, that your children will turn out okay because you use the right essential oils. Don't do that. Stand on Christ. Stand on something firm and stay grounded. May we remember what our hope is in and how it's laid up for us there in heaven. 1 Peter 1 describes this as a, and some of you young men, I've told you this, it's a living hope. It's a living hope because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We are begotten to a living hope. You see, it's a hope that's not just, and children, hope, heaven's not just somewhere up in the sky that we really can't understand. No. Hope is here through Christ. It's a living hope. It's a breathing hope. It has power. It's active and it's present in our lives. And my encouragement to you today is to not let your hope get old or stale or small or dead or replaced by anything else in your day-to-day life. Instead, walk in the living hope that is brought through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Because of the hope which is stored up for us in heaven under the secure protection of God, no one can take it. It's something that nobody can take. Almost everything in this life, stuff, relationships, even jobs, they can be taken away. They really can. But no one can take heaven away. No one can take your hope in Christ away. Nothing is more secure. And so my encouragement to you today is that that reality should shape your living. Hope-shaped living. That's our goal. That's the call today, to walk, breathe, and live hope. The hope laid up for us. And we, if we look at this verse today, on Colossians 1:5, Paul is thanking God for the hope of the Christians in Colossae, because their faith and love is generated. It's propelled onward by their hope. And see, this is the crux of the matter for us. Our solid hope in God propels us forward in faith and urges us towards love in all the saints. So you might be faced with a situation. Let's take an example. With a brother or sister, even where there's an offense maybe towards you or a tension between a brother or sister, and you're thinking, should I try to love them? I'm not sure. Will they love me back? But you have hope in God. Your hope is not in that person and how they'll react. Your hope is in God. That He, in His incorruptible, undefiled inheritance that never fades away, is stored up in heaven for you. In the perfection of God, in the sinless, fully glorified, heavenly home that He has for you. So propelled by that hope, you can step forward in faith. You can step in to a little bit of the messiness of these relationships here because of their hope in Christ. And you can go love your brother and sister, knowing that Christ holds all these things in His hands. And I often think of the mothers here that are in the room. Children have... You have children to care for, to tend to raise up, and many times it can feel like a lot, can't it? I live with one of these mothers, and so I'm aware of it. You say, am I doing a good job? Will my children turn out okay? But let me encourage you. Look up, sister. Look up. Hope is in God. Heaven is a reality. You're beckoned and called by this hope to take a step of faith with those little ones to the next day and the next and the next, convicted to walk in the Spirit, following the path of righteousness, till you bring those little ones up that they may know and they may long for heaven as well. Amen. And when you're downcast, we have encouragement too and hope. Even as David cried out in Psalm 43, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him. See, in crying out to God with a despairing soul even, David meditated on the goodness of God, on his love and faithfulness, on heaven. And just like us, David knew that if he dwelled on just the problems, then and didn't put his hope in God, without lifting up his eyes, he would just be lost in his despair. Well, let me finish with this. You're all sitting in chairs right now, aren't you? You're pretty much everybody's sitting in here. That's amazing. Usually there's somebody standing, but you're all sitting. Now let me ask you a deep question. Are you quaking a little bit that chair might just break and fall and you're going to land on the ground? No. You seem pretty okay with your chairs. Why is that? It's worked 1,000 other times. Amen. Oh, may we have such hope in God, brothers and sisters, when we enter a little stormy circumstance in life, that we just sit there like you're sitting in your chairs right now. You are not very stressed about falling on the ground, are you? No. Oh, may we rest. May we have that hope, brothers and sisters. I encourage you to think often upon heaven. Let it impact your life. Let it mold you and shape you. If you think a little bit, just a little bit on heaven every once in a while, that's going to shape you too. See, this is our treasure as Christians. The treasure's already won. It's already reserved for us. It's undefiled. It does not fade away, and it cannot be taken away. The more we walk in this truth, the more it will shape our lives. The more it will shape our affections, our pursuits, our peace, and our love. May this hope define us. May the hope of heaven propel us forward in faith. And may the hope of God be where our minds are stayed. Hope in God and look often to our heavenly home. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we confess to you that we do not think often enough of the hope that is laid up for us in heaven. Oh, what a precious promise and treasure that you have given, that you have gone before us and laid this up and established this, God. Oh, Lord, I pray particularly as you bring us by your hand through trials, through tribulations, through the storms of this life. Oh, Lord, we would look unto you. We would think upon heaven. We would long for heaven. We would long for our time with our Savior, the home that you've gone before us and that you are making and building for us right now. Oh, God, we thank you for the picture of heaven and the reality that it is right now as a living hope. Oh God, graze within us the faith to step forward and to call upon you and to call upon your name. Lord, we take a moment now to confess and to confess to you. We do not think with this hope often enough. Oh Lord, we confess to you now and we pray that you would bring that conviction of the Spirit to think upon things above. And we take a moment now to confess these sins to you.